Our Father, we thank you for the abundance of things that thou dost tell us in your word. Things, Father, that fill our hearts with light because they are truth, and then fill our hearts with fear because we see what has been done with the truth. But we do pray that the light shall shine in darkness and the darkness shall not overcome it, but instead, our God, the light shall prevail and we shall see the truth about your universe and about yourself. Let us know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. We thank you, our God, for all that you've done for us in this world. And we pray, our God, that we shall not be like those of whom we read. Knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, and their senseless heart was darkened. We pray, Father, that you shall take away the darkness and fill our hearts with light, and let us not refuse the light that you give. So we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. For 2 weeks, I told you about God and his creation of the universe and of man. But what I've read to you from Romans chapter 1 is a reverse of that. Please notice, it is man's creation of God and the universe. Because what I told you the past 2 weeks were truths. That God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But what we read in Romans chapter 1 is the reverse of that. What has happened is this. It's what we are told in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes says, "This much I know. He has been searching for truth throughout the world his whole life long. And he says, this have I found of a certainty, that God made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions." Think of that. That God made man one way, but the way that God made man was not pleasing to man, and he turned himself into another thing. But it says God made man upright, but man sought out many inventions. Now, what happened was this. I wanted to read to you also from Genesis 3 and Genesis 4, because the first 2 weeks I read to you from Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 about God creating man, about God creating his universe. And that is truth. That is the light from heaven. That is God's explanation to us, not in scientific language, but in language that is readily understandable. And what we learn from this for certain is that God is he who brought this universe into existence out of nothing. I showed you that from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear, which tells us that God brought this universe into existence out of nothing. Now, let me tell you about man and his universe. Only recently has man come to realize that indeed the universe has not always been. Some have thought it was, but they've been able to figure because of the laws that they reason with, that the things that exist have not always existed, because when we test them, we see that it is a time limit that they've been here. And for that reason, they say, we conclude that at one time there was nothing, and out of nothing, this universe came into existence. And we Christians smile and say, yes, we know that. And that's what I told you from Hebrews chapter 11. The things that are seen have not been made out of things that appear. It says, God created them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Out of what? Out of nothing. But what the scientists do is this. They tell you, yes, we acknowledge that at one time there was nothing. But we refuse to acknowledge that God brought this universe into existence because it is unnecessary for God to do so. And they helplessly tell you this. We are unable to answer where this universe came from. They openly confess that. And so, their universe is a universe that is here, but they have no idea how it came into being. At one time there was nothing, but we are aware that there is something now, but we are not able to tell you how something came out of nothing. Well, we Christians are. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, it says, God spoke and it was done. God commanded and it stood fast. That is our universe that we accept as taught us from God. But man's universe is this. I'm speaking about man separated from God. Those who say there is no God, they confess that there was at one time nothing, but out of nothing came something. Now, and I've been reading so many of the authorities on this, and they tell you this. Well, we only deal with things that are, and therefore we have this universe in existence. And having that universe in existence, there was no life at first. Remarkable now. They have a universe out of nothing, and now they say in that universe there was only death. They say, but out of death came life. And I've read and read, trying to find an answer that they give, telling where life came out of death, and they're not able to tell you. They say, we are unable to tell you. They suggest this, that somewhere in the universe, molecules fell into this ocean, this vast ocean, and finally these molecules came together, and because of lightning or some kind of heat or some kind of energy exerted upon them, death suddenly turned into life, the simplest form of life. And that is where they begin, with the simplest form of life. And then they brought the universe into existence out of nothing, but they're not able to tell you where it came from. But they say that is our universe. It was not that God created the universe. It came out of nothing. How? We're not able to tell you, but we know it came out of nothing. There is no God. Well, where did life come from? They say life came out of death. There were molecules in the universe. They fell into the ocean, and somehow, over a period of time, longest eons of time, these molecules were brought together, and they formed the simplest form of life. And then from there, they go on. They tell you that that simplest form of life became a more complicated form of life, And finally, there was intelligent life. That's the next step. And they are absolutely unable to tell you where intelligence in life came from. Is this not a thing that is shattering, that their universe is one that they do not know where it came from, how it came into being? Their life, their man, their creation is a man that they do not know where his life came from and how he developed to where he is, and so they begin speculating. And what I read, and this was the latest that they gave, that finally they're in the ocean, and then there are amphibians, and finally amphibians, and this is taking hundreds of millions of years, and after there are amphibians, there are reptiles, and they said that man came from reptiles. That man came from reptiles and birds came from reptiles. And that is what I told you the first week, that they had told us that the reptiles that somehow developed scales, that those scales were turned into feathers, and that these reptiles that had no arms or legs, they developed them, and then they turned the scales into feathers, into wings, and then they were able to fly. And the more I read, and the more illustrations I saw that they were trying to prove evolution, each time it cried out, God, for this reason. They were showing examples of mimicry. Here are these creatures that are defenseless, and yet when danger approaches, they are able to turn their bodies into something that is frightening to the enemy. And I was looking at an owl with its two eyes, and it showed a moth that when it was frightened, turns over and exposes its feathers. And I looked, and the two eyes of the owl were looking at me, and it would frighten me as well. And they are trying to tell you that this moth had the ability to develop itself and then to know that the owl would frighten enemies off, and so it developed two eyes like the owl on its tail, its wings, and when danger comes, they turn up those wings and the enemy sees it and they are able to fly away. And this is what they are telling you. And as to how the different creatures have developed, it is something that is absolutely amazing. And the more they tell you, the more I kept laughing, because it cried out, God, God. And that is what has happened. And a man who will open his heart and seek. Notice it says, God wants man to feel after him. If man will feel after God with an unbiased approach and search, man will find God or be found by God. But what has happened is this, and that is why I wanted to read to you from Genesis 3 and from Genesis 4. Because the universe that God made, the man that God made, is not what man is, and the universe is not what God wanted it to be. This is what God said when he made man. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all of the earth, all the creatures, all the plants, all the trees. Let them have dominion. And God placed man in a garden, and he said, now you till the garden, you keep it, you develop it. And so if man had not sinned, what heights he could have arrived at in botany and in all the other inventions, for this reason, how quickly the intelligence that God gave man was perverted. I told you that the reason that we are looked upon as fools is because the very laws that God has laid out that we can observe, why, the universe following those laws contradicted. We believe that the universe was made in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. You say, how? The same way, and I told you this, that when God made man, he was a mature man. He was able to have children. He was able to converse with God. He was able to look at creation and intelligently describe it and name it and see the appropriate name that should go to this animal. What is this animal? Why, that is a cow. And what is this animal? That is a horse. And what is this animal? Why, that is a dog. And all of God's creatures were brought to him. And the day that Adam was created, he had that ability to name all of those animals. And if the scientists today looked at Adam, 1 hour old, and were asked, how old is Adam? He would tell you, why, in his 20s, and he's a fine specimen. And if I told you he is 1 day old, they would laugh us to scorn, and I would not blame them too, because all the reasoning power that they have, unless God tells them where man came from, indeed, Adam is 20 years old. But he was 1 day old. And I told you also about the water turned into wine. How long did it take this wine to get to the excellent taste that it has? And they would tell you all the months and the years involved, because this is the best wine that we've tasted. It's aged wine. And if I told you that wine is 5 minutes old, they would laugh us to scorn. Why? Because God intervenes, and God's laws that he set in motion for us to see, at times they are superseded. And this is what we as Christians believe. And so as to how old the universe actually is, I'm not able to tell you. But I am able to tell you about man as descended from Adam, and not all of these other creatures that came from the ocean. Man was made out of the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That is God's creation of man. But man has also created man, and he says he came from the simplest form of life, from the ocean, and eventually he develops into a reptile, and that reptile develops eventually into an ape, and that ape eventually develops into a man. And that is the man that fallen man has created. That is his man. And to his universe is what he has described in all of these books. And this man is the finest professor at Oxford University. And yet he is laying before me things, and he says they mean this. And the simple heart of a child of God is saying, God. Now, I've tried to think of what the world would have been and life would have been if man had not sinned. But for the briefest possible time, man had communion with his Creator and obeyed his Creator. But I wanted to read you in Genesis 3 about the entrance of sin into the world. And then the drastic changes that immediately take place when man disobeys God. When even in his innocency, through the serpent, Satan tempted Eve, and then Adam was brought into the transgression. How brief was the time of man's fellowship with his Maker. And it would have been this. And the nearest thing I can think of it is when you and I have quiet times with God alone. At times, I've been in a forest, and I've seen God's creation, and my heart has communed with God. But there was a time when the very garden that God made, it said God would come to that garden in the cool of the day, and he would seek man. And so it means that God would visit man in a manner that he could perceive. God is a spirit, but he heard the sound of God, the voice of God walking in the garden. And so God would have made himself visible in whatever way he chose, the way that angels do, and he would come and he would have communed with God. And there would have been no death. We would have all been vegetarians because there would have been no killing of animals and eating them. And all these animals would have developed and the ferocity never would have come into these animals. And we would have had perfect fellowship with these animals. And we would have had a kingdom without sin and without pain and without death. And there would have been challenges placed before us because God said, now, you take care of that garden and you keep it. And that is what would have happened. But let me tell you, it did not happen. Man sinned, and in brief, have we read chapter 4? Here is man, and Cain is going on outwardly in fellowship with God, but he does not belong to God. I would have suspected it when he offered a sacrifice that was not acceptable to God, and God told him, that is not the sacrifice that I want. It's not presented in the way that I want it. Now, change it, or your countenance will stay fallen, and your anger will remain. But he said, it doesn't have to be that way. You do what I tell you, and your countenance will be lifted up, and your anger will disappear. But when God told Cain that, Cain adamantly refused to change. And after that, he spoke to his brother Abel and got him to go into the field. And he rose up against him and he murdered his brother. And this is the first human being that ever was brought into the world through the womb of Eve. And he was a murderer. And who claimed the first creature on earth? John tells us in his first epistle, not as Cain, who was of the evil one. And so the first creature produced by woman, God giving her the ability to be fruitful and multiply, Satan laid hands on Cain and claimed him. Now, what happens is this, and it's so interesting, you'll find that for 6 or 7 generations, the descendants of Cain are named. And it tells what they do. And I told you that even though man is fallen, we still have the image and likeness of God. It is a marred image. But you'll find in Genesis 9, in 1 Corinthians 11, and in James 3, that we still have the image of God in us. And I have seen in fallen man what that image of God is able to accomplish. Lamech had 2 wives, Ada and Zillah. And these women had 3 children. They had Jabal and Jubal and Tubal-Cain. And it tells us that these descendants of fallen man, Cain's descendants, it said that Jabal was the one that taught people about cattle and living in tents. And so these are nomads. But it says Jubal is the one from whom all those that play musical instruments descend. And it said Tubal-Cain is a metal smith. He is the one who taught man about working in copper and in iron. And so here is man. In man, you have this ability to produce masterpieces I could have told you also in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 about Hiram and all the ability he had, far more than these three that I've told you about. When God's temple was going to be made, here's a man that was able with provisions that Solomon gave to him, he was able to do everything needful to make the temple the way that God wanted it. And so here is man, and what has he become? It says, God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. So look at the world now, and listen to the wisdom of man now, and you will see his universe and his man. But listen to the word of God, and you will see what his universe was to be, and what man was to be. And thank God, someday it shall be. Because when Christ shall come, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And Christ shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. God's kingdom is going to be manifested, and God will have a kingdom like he wanted at the first. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess with shame the sin that came into the world, what the world could have been, all the absence of heartbreak and death and sorrow, the pain, so much of it that's in the world, and we're not able to understand it, and yet we see that you did not bring it upon us. God made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. Our God, forgive us for the inventions that we've made that glorify man and promote sin. And we are thankful for all of those inventions that you permitted sinful man to discover, our God, that help us to take away pain and enjoy life. Our Father, we confess you are he who made us. We are not our own. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We acknowledge that you've made us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and let us as best we are able, even as fallen creatures, but now saved by the grace of God, let us manifest who you are and what your universe is. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.